Dick Barton, Special Agent. By special arrangement for the BBC, we bring you Chapter 62 of our exciting adventure serial, Dick Barton, Special Agent. Dick Barton and his friends have agreed to join an expedition to South America to try to find Professor Carey, the noted scientist who disappeared there before the war, and of whom news has just been heard. The party is to be led by Bruce Fairley, the explorer, and Barton, Jock and Snowy are to replace three members of the expedition who have met with fatal accidents. Accompanied by the two men who have offered him the job, Barton, with Jock, Jean and Snowy, arrive at Bruce Fairley's flat, where they observe Fairley and his two companions sitting motionless at a table. Barton senses that something is wrong.
Come on, down with the door. Use your shoulder at the same time as me, Jock. Right. I'll count three. One, two, three.
Oh, Dick, look.
Thought as much.
They're not dead, Barton.
Afraid so. Let's have a look.
What the heck did they die of? They're sitting round the table as though they've suddenly been frozen stiff.
No knife wounds, no bullets, no blood.
They are dead, I suppose.
They're dead, all right. And this is what killed them. See? In this chap's neck. No, no, here, look. Just in the nape of the neck. No, don't touch it.
What is it, Dick, a thorn?
Tiny dart of some kind.
Let's have a look at the other two. Here, sir. Almost the identical spot, see? Just beyond this poor devil's ear hole.
The other one is just the same.
That makes six deaths in 2 days, Mr. Barton.
Somebody means business, all right, don't they?
I wonder how the darts were fired.
Oh, that's easy, sir. There's only one way. Blowpipe.
A blowpipe, huh? That's a link with South America, isn't it?
Makes you think. Well, where do we go from here?
I think that's up to you now, Mr. Barton. So far as we're concerned, the whole expedition is off. There is no expedition. Every member is dead.
Murdered?
Yes, murdered. Six brave men. Personally, I don't feel like taking the responsibility of asking anyone else to take on the job.
I entirely agree. Forget the whole business, Mr. Barton.
No, 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 just a minute. How valuable is this new mineral to science and medicine?
We don't know yet, Mr. Barton. It's something sensational, according to Carey. It may mean the end of some of the world's worst diseases. We don't know.
Why?
I was thinking, maybe...
Maybe you're thinking what I'm thinking. Count me in.
Here, here.
We've been up against people like this afore.
Well, there's your answer, gentlemen.
You mean you're prepared to undertake the expedition on your own?
Yes. We'll get some native guides out there. Your man Sentinel can help us.
First thing is to ring up Scotland Yard. I'll do that now.
Well, after you phone the police, we can get along to my place. We can talk there. Now, let's get down to business. I've an idea.
Let's hear it.
I don't fancy this business of navigating inland rivers, cutting through jungle undergrowth and so on.
What else can you suggest?
Well, when we reach this native at Georgetown, if his map is any use at all, we should be able to pinpoint the spot where Carey is from the air.
You're surely not proposing to fly in?
Well, why not? You said money was no object.
But, Dick, where on earth would you land? There aren't any airfields in the middle of the South American jungle.
Oh, we could crash land.
Of course, as long as there's an open space of some kind.
I'm willing to take a chance. What say, Snowy?
All right with me, sir. Good for the liver, a bit of excitement like that.
Then perhaps you'll tell us how you're going to get out again.
You took the words out of my mouth, Miss Hunter.
Easy. While we're with Carey, we'll get the natives to build us a landing strip. We'll take a radio transmitter with us and notify your agent in Georgetown as soon as we're ready. He flies in, picks us all up. Hey, presto, the job's done.
You're banking on a lot of things, aren't you? First, the natives may not be friendly. Second, even if they were, you may not be able to build an airstrip. Thirdly,
look,
you'll...
sir, once we're in with Carey... Well, if the worst comes to the worst, we can always come out using Carey's own route, with canoes and so on. We're no worse off, and we shall have saved a deuce of a lot of time going in.
Probably impress the natives in all, sir, flying in like that.
Personally, I'm quite happy to leave everything to you, Mr. Barton, from now on. Do as you please. Spend what money you require.
I agree. We'll notify Sentinel out in Georgetown that you're the boss, Mr. Barton, and anything you want, he will have orders to get for you.
Just the job.
And with your permission, Mr. Barton, we too will retire from the whole business. Except that we'll have a plane and a pilot ready to take off at dawn, day after tomorrow, from Farringdale Aerodrome.
And the sooner you can get away, the better. You could look over the plane tomorrow morning, perhaps. Get your kit and load it in. You can use poor old Fairley stuff. Sentinel will be expecting you in Georgetown.
Well, we'll do our best to be ready by dawn the day after tomorrow, sir. We're pretty mobile when we want to be.
I doubt whether we shall be able to come along and see you off, Mr. Barton. I think you appreciate that our time is, well, not entirely our own.
I quite understand.
And if you want any information of any kind or any help... Phone that number.
Thanks, I will.
Good luck, Mr. Barton. To you and your companions, we wish you every success.
And I don't care what you say. I think it's a dirty trick, a jolly dirty trick.
Oh, have a heart, Jean Blazes. I can't take a young and innocent, well, fairly young...
Of course it is. You're just leaving me out because you don't want to share the spoils with me.
Oh, my sweet, I'd share everything with you. You know that. Oh, gosh, what have I said?
You want to be careful, my lad. I'll be taking you up on that one of these days.
Oh, I've been drinking, that's what it is.
Where's the car?
In the drive already. Here's the key. Now, there are four gears, sweetheart, not counting rudder. One brake pedal, one accelerator pedal.
See you in the morning.
Mind the lamppost. Stop at the red light.
Bye.
Goodbye, Jean. We'll be seeing you tomorrow.
Ah, poor old Jean, she is fed up. But we can't take her all the way to South America. It's no life,
I see. She's driving a bit erratic, sir. Look, sir, she's going to crash.
Blazes, now what?
She's all right, sir. She's getting out of the car. Oh,
sorry, Dick, but the steering went haywire.
But there's nothing wrong with the steering, old girl.
There is, Dick, honestly.
You hurt? What's the matter with your wrist?
I don't know, Dick, I... Finger.
Catch her, sir, quick.
Okay, Jock, I've got her. Come on, old lady. This isn't like you, not a bit like you. Blazes, Jock, take a look at her wrist.
What's the matter with it? Sprained or something?
Sprained my Aunt Fanny, it's broken. Oh, one of the poor kid fainted.
What's happened, Mr. Dick, sir? Why, Miss Jean, is she hurt, Mr. Dick?
Oh, great Scott, if it isn't Horace dressed up like a glamour girl.
I heard you shouting in the crash, and so I come out.
Girl is in all right, Mrs. H.
I'll trouble you to keep your remarks to yourself, Mr. White. There's a time and a place for everything.
That's the idea, Betsy. Tell the old soldier where to get off. Now, come on. Let's get back to the flat, quick. Get a cup of hot coffee and some brandy, Betsy.
Oh, dear, miss. You'll feel right as ninepence in a minute.
Oh. Come on, Jean. Wake up. It isn't like you to do a fainting act.
Oh, I didn't faint, did I?
I'm afraid so.
What's the matter with this?
I think it's bust, Jeanie. As soon as you feel a bit better, we're taking you along to the hospital to find out for sure. Have a word with the people in the next flat, Betsy. There's a dear. See if you could borrow their car for half an hour. Explain why. Old Cartwright won't mind.
Of course he won't. He better not, anyway. There's your coffee, Miss Jean. Do you more good than all Mr. Dick's brandy.
Thank you, Betsy.
Hello, you two here again. You keep your eyes to yourself, Mr. White. Ain't you never seen a woman in a dressing gown before?
Oh, not looking as glamorous as you, Betsy.
Well, Jock, tell her what she's done to our car.
Well, I don't think she's done anything to it, sir.
Eh? Well, if smashing...
Somebody's been busy with the steering box. Deliberately sabotaged. It's a good job Miss Hunter wasn't in the middle of a stream of traffic. Anything might have happened.
Well... Who the blazes could have done that?
Whoever it was, he left a little note for you.
Oh.
Here. It was in the little cubbyhole on the dashboard.
Now, let's see. This affair is too big for you, Mr. Barton. Keep out of it. We've had notes before like this. Well, my lads, the party begins to liven up.
Oh, I see Mr. Cartwright, sir. He says you can use it with pleasure. And here's the key.
Ah, come on, Jean, old girl. Let's get you tied up properly. The dressing you've got on at the moment is something of a makeshift.
Looks as though my chances of coming to South America really are kiboshed now. But I'll be there to see you off, whatever happens.
Well, I don't know about you two, but I'm all for having a spot of sleep and leaving the planning until tomorrow. Oh, you can both stay the night here. I've got some spare pajamas, and then we can fix the details over an early breakfast, eh? Is that all right with you both?
Suits me.
Sound a fairy aunt to me, sir, or sleep anywhere.
Oh, shut the door to the garage, Jock, will you?
Right.
One can have the settee, and t'other can share my lonely couch. Well, hello, Betsy. Not in bed yet.
Waiting to hear how Miss Jean was.
Oh, she's fine. Just a clean break, they think. They don't anticipate complications.
Oh, I'm so glad. Oh, a man phoned twice while you was out, Mr. Dick.
Well, at this time of night?
Yeah, seemed most anxious to speak to you. Proper nasty he sounded somehow.
Nasty? How do you mean? Oh, maybe this is him again. Hello.
Is that Mr. Barton?
Yes. Who's that?
Mr. Barton, you are out of your class in this affair. Quite out of your class. Drop it, Mr. Barton.
Listen, Clarence, if you're the funny man who tampered with my car tonight, I'd advise you, in the interest of your own health, to keep out.
We don't scare easily, Mr. Barton. Have you read tonight's Evening Messenger, page 3?
No.
What the devil...
You should, Mr. Barton. You should.
What was all that in aid of, sir?
Some bright Herbert doing the man in black to us. You know, dreadful warnings and so on. Got tonight's evening messenger, Snowy?
Yes, but oh, for the dogs. Down again we was, sir.
What's it say on page 3?
Just a minute. Strikes in building industry. Poisonous snake stolen from zoo. More racehorses nobbled with acid. Tram overturned in Finchley. Girl kept burglar caught in Duchess's flat. Minister makes new statement on housing. An arrest is dog results in tonight's radio. What, any good?
Well, take your pick, old son. We've just been warned about one of them, but weren't told which. Who's for shut-eye?
I am.
Me too. And tomorrow morning at crack of dawn, we'll be making plans for invading South America.
Jock. Jock. Wake up, Jock.
What's the matter, sir?
Somebody opening the window. Shh. Something's been dropped inside the room. Something alive. Listen.
What is inside the room? Who is at the window? Is this what Barton has been warned about?